I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today you'll hear what mishap sent me to the emergency room, why John's anniversary gift was a recipe for disaster, and we get expert fabric and upholstery advice from our favorite guy in the biz.
Hey.
Hi.
Want to get things started?
Okay, what's new with me is that as a surprise for our anniversary, John, you, the person across the microphone, surprised me by hiring someone to take a family picture for us. And the backstory on that is sort of that every year we take a family picture on our anniversary since the very first year. So this is our 9-year anniversary, and every year we have a picture of us. You know, of course, it was just me and John at first, and then it was us and our daughter, and then our son came along, and we've tried to get some iterations with the dog in them. They're never successful, but we try.
Yeah, we've learned the more people we add, the harder it becomes.
Yes, so I feel like it was very generous and thoughtful and sweet.
Well, here's my logic, okay? Because we've always managed to get the photo, you know, juggling the like camera remote and the kids and trying to get everyone smiling. And so it's turned out well, but I thought maybe this was a year where we should like try to eliminate that factor of trying to take the photo of ourselves and like outsource it to someone else. And I don't know, I don't think it necessarily turned out to be less stressful.
Good try, but nope.
Yeah. So, and it's no fault of the photographer at all. I mean, she was very patient with us. But the thing that we learned from this, I guess, is because, you know, whereas when we did it ourselves, we could do it whenever, like...
on a cool day.
Yes. And when, like, everyone was in a good mood.
Right.
And,
like, not right before the witching hour in our house.
Yeah. So, we had to, like, book a time with her. And that time was set. And it turned out to be a very hot day.
Oh, my gosh. Like, picture all of us with wet hair against our faces.
Yeah, like, before she even got there, I think I'd sweated through both of my shirts. And I think the heat combined with, you know, she also wanted to shoot in that, what do they call that? The, like, magic hour
when
the
sun is setting.
Yeah, and so in the summertime, that's later in the day, so it's getting closer to bedtime. And so, you know, I don't know. I think we learned a lot of lessons that if we're going to do a portrait session again with a photographer, like, let's do it in the fall.
No, I was more like, we'll do it in 5 years.
Yeah, I was like, or because when the kids are older.
Our youngest child is 2, and he was not looking at the camera or doing anything that the photographer was directing him to do. And like, he's not to blame. He's 2. We were kind of crazy to expect that we'd like even get one shot of everyone smiling and looking at the camera. And I think we did get one. But, you know, it was not, there were not a plethora of amazing photos that came out of this photo shoot. And it was totally not the photographer's fault. I think what we learned is maybe a tripod and a remote is the way to go, at least for the next like 5 years until everyone is like directable and we can say like, look right here and smile.
Well, it also just keeps things flexible so that we can do it on a cool day or when everyone is in a good mood.
It got away from us. Let's put it that way. So what's new with you?
Well, what's new with me is our shed in the backyard, which if you've seen our blog post about it, we recently got a shed in our backyard to sort of act as a workshop slash overflow to the garage.
And it's cuter than our house, so you should probably check it out.
And all the pictures and stuff are on the blog, so you can get the full story of it there. But there was one thing we didn't sneak into the post, which was a kind of mishap of sorts, I guess. So when we had the electrical run to the shed, we decided to dig the trench for the wire ourselves so that we didn't have to pay an electrician to sit in our backyard and dig a trench.
Oh yeah, so tip, if you are getting electrical done, over time we hire the same guy and we like him and we have this rapport with him. And that way we're very sort of comfortable saying things to him like, hey, is there a way that we could get this bill down? And so when he was giving us the estimate, we said, what can we do to make this more affordable? And he said, you know what? You dig the trench. It should go from here to here. And he pointed to what we should do and how deep we should go. And he said, that way you're not paying my guys, you know, their hourly rate to dig this trench. They'll arrive, the trench will be there, and they can run the electrical out to the shed a lot faster. So we were like, this is great news. We're going to save some money.
Well, you know, before you do any major digging in your yard, you're supposed to call 811. They're the folks who like mark all of your utilities so you're not digging through an electrical cord or like a power line or a gas line or something like that that you can't see under the ground. So we had called 811 right before the shed was delivered because that was something we were advised to do to make sure they weren't trucking the shed in over anything.
Right, and like popping a gas line under it or something.
Yeah, so we had known that we were all clear in there, so I was clear to dig the ditch. And as you can probably see where this was going, I was not in the all clear. Because as I got to the last part of the ditch...
It was like literally the last 6 inches of the ditch.
I was like, oh, what is this cut wire here in my ditch?
And I'm inside going, I have no internet or phone or cable, but I'm not going to tell John because that's going to piss him off. I'm going to let him finish and then I'm going to bring him water and I'm going to gently break the news to him.
Well, mind you, I was outside thinking, I think I just cut the internet and the cable, but I'm not going to tell Sherry. Because she's going to freak out. So, yes, I cut the Verizon line that apparently was buried right at the corner of our deck that no one told us about. It was never marked.
There was another wire right next to it.
Yeah, there was actually a Comcast cable right under it that I saw that one after I nicked the first one.
Yeah, ironically, of the two wires, he broke the one that was active and working. And if he had broken the other one, our internet and cable would have been fine because it would have been an old wire. But oh well, them's the breaks.
So I called Verizon. They were actually able to send someone out that day, even though it was Sunday, and they ran a new wire there. I told them what had happened. You know, we're all thankful that it wasn't anything worse. It's not like I hit a power line and could have hurt myself or something like that, or leak gas everywhere. So in the scheme of things, it was a very minor problem. But we actually had someone come out today because we still have to figure out with Verizon who's at fault for it because it wasn't marked.
Well, I think what Verizon did is they asked us if we called 811, and there was a record of us calling 811 and getting it marked. So then they went to 811 and said, this is your fault. And 811, to like investigate the situation, came to our house.
Well, and one thing I learned from the guy that was interesting is that you have to have called 811 within 15 days of the incident. So there's been times like we've been tempted not to have it marked again because we now know where things are. But now we know we should go through that exercise anyways, just so it's on record with them.
Yes, like we're so glad we had called right before the shed got delivered. It would have been tempting to say like, we know where the gas line is. It's along the side of the driveway. We know there's some water stuff in the front right corner of our land. So let's just not call. But even though wires don't move underground, within the 3 years that we've lived here, we know nobody has added anything, we still have to call for it to count to be covered.
Yeah, it's a CYA.
Cover your
digging. But anyways, it's all good now. Electrical is there. We have internet and cable back. We're all good.
And we have cute little sconces on the shed. They're my favorite part. I'm moving in.
Well, and speaking of the shed.
Yes.
I think this brings us to another installment of my favorite segment called, well, that's embarrassing. And once again, it's starring Sherry Peterson, the most embarrassing member of our family.
Okay, guys. So I almost broke my finger in dealing with the shed, but I wasn't actually doing physical labor on the shed. I was shopping for the shed.
You are a wonder, Sherry Peterson.
I was at Lowe's and we were looking at pavers. This is about to get gross, guys. So a whole bunch of cement pavers were lined up and I was holding them so that they wouldn't tip in one direction with one hand. And
I was trying to pull one out.
Right. John was pulling one out and I was sort of separating the two piles. And as I was paying attention to the right side where John was pulling one out, all the pavers in my left hand shifted like with no notice and they smashed the middle finger of my left hand and like they crushed it. So I'm at Lowe's and I'm like feeling like I'm going to throw up and faint and like trying not to scream. And I think I'm like probably making like a low moaning sound and walking towards the fences in the back of the outdoor area so I can like be alone with my pain. And John's like still continuing to deal with the pavers and putting
them in. I'm like, what's wrong with her? Right? I'm the one lifting all the heavy stones over here.
And I'm like, oh, it was like Lamaze breathing as I attempted to not throw up, pass out, or scream in Lowe's. And it immediately got super swollen and bright purple. My friend saw it and said it looked like I had put a black olive on the tip of my finger. And I actually have shattered my pinky before closing in a car door. And I actually thought that's what I did here. But I went to the emergency center and they did an x-ray and the woman was shocked and said, it's actually not broken. Although I've seen broken fingers look less gnarly than this one.
Why, thank you.
I know. I was like, thank you. I'll take my crown now. But I'm probably going to lose the nail. And I messed up some like, you know, basically mashed the tip of my finger. But I'm so thrilled it's not broken because I know it'll heal faster. So, guys, shopping can be really dangerous. I'm just warning you.
Hey, you got a pretty sweet splint out of the deal.
I know. I have like a middle finger cast, which like looks amazing. And also, for anyone wondering, we have done DIY for 10 years now. And as far as we can remember, this is like the most injured we've gotten.
Yeah, this is the first trip to an emergency center.
Ever in 10 years of DIY. And like, it sucked, but I was shopping. And to add insult to injury, as we were walking out of Lowe's and I'm holding my throbbing hand, our son stops in like the middle of the street and lets go of my hand and crouches down. So I go to grab him like with one arm because my finger's maimed on the other hand. And then he headbutts me in the lip and gives me a bloody lip. So I'm in the car like, what is my life?
Oh my gosh, you live a life of danger, Sherry.
I really do. And I woke up with a purple finger and a purple lip. I was looking awesome.
Okay, well, can I hit you with some what's not?
Let's do it.
So So as most of you know, this is the section where I give Sherry some items in a certain category. Most are real, but some are fake, and she just has to guess what's real and what's not. So let's kick things off with paint.
Okay.
Your category of paint this time is called hipster paint.
Oh, I like it.
So these are 5 paint colors. One is fake. You ready?
Ready.
Vegan.
Ooh, these are good already.
Skinny jeans.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Vinyl record.
Vinyl record is definitely true.
Farmer's market.
Farmer's market, I could see that being real also.
And hipsterfication.
That's real because it's too weird. You wouldn't make that up.
You don't think I'm weird?
You are weird, but it's too specific. So I'm between vegan, which is hilarious, because like, what does that have to do with paint? And what was the second one? Skinny jeans? Oh my gosh, but skinny jeans would be a good blue color. I'm going to say vegan is made up.
Well, your knowledge of hipster paint is not good.
Oh, what is it?
Vinyl record is the made up one.
Oh, that was such a good one.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Vegan is a Sherwin-Williams color. It's kind of a minty green. Skinny jeans is a bear color. It's kind of a denim color, as you sort of inferred. Hipsterfication is a bear color. It's a reddish brown. And interestingly, farmer's market is both a Benjamin Moore and a bear color.
No way. See, they were hot on the trend. Don't you think this is like an Onion article waiting to write itself? Yeah. Like hipster paints house in colors like vegan and hipsterfication.
Okay, well, nice.
What about handlebar mustache?
Oh, I did look for mustache. There did not appear to be anything called mustache.
Someone is missing an opportunity there.
Yeah, well. Are you ready for your next category?
I am.
Okay, so this category for what's not, I think you'll be good at, but play along, okay?
Okay.
It's called Who is Not a Property Brother?
Okay.
So I'm going to give you several people that may or may not be property brothers.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
You ready?
Oh, I hope I get this right.
Michael Scott.
Michael Scott is not a property brother because he's the guy from The Office.
You're right. Jonathan Scott.
Jonathan Scott is a property brother.
You are right again. Kendra Scott.
Kendra Scott is not a property brother because she makes the prettiest earrings in all the world.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott is not a property brother. That name sounds wrong.
You're correct. Do you know who he is?
No, I don't.
Do you remember Amy Poehler's love interest on Parks and Rec?
Oh yeah, he's so cute.
Drew Scott.
Drew Scott is the other property brother.
You're correct.
And he's the one who does like the demo and I already lost the other guy.
Jonathan.
Jonathan Scott is the one who's like the realtor and he's all buttoned up. And Drew is like the one with the long hair and the tool belt.
You are correct that Drew is a property brother, but you have them backwards. Drew, the short name, is the short hair.
Oh.
So he's the realtor.
Oh, that's a good way to
Jonathan,
remember it.
Long name, okay. Long hair. But yeah.
Sorry, property brothers. You're twins. I bet this happens all the time. Oh, no. You're only brothers?
They're twins.
Okay.
Okay. J.D. Scott.
J.D. Scott is... I don't know who that is. Is he like a liquor brand? He's not a property brother.
He actually is a property brother.
What?
He is the third Scott brother.
That's not fair.
So,
but he's not technically a property brother.
Well, he has appeared on Brother vs. Brother
and
on their show Property Brothers at Home. So,
well, dang it. So on a technicality,
I got you on a technicality.
Property brothers. Yep.
I didn't even know, but it came up on a Pop Sugar article that was called 15 Things You Didn't Know About the Third Scott Brother.
Oh.
Yes, like he's a David Bowie impersonator.
Really?
Yes, and very hard hitting. He doesn't like mushrooms on his pizza.
What?
Don't you feel like you know him so well?
I do, but I disagree with the mushroom sentiment. So now we're going to try something a little bit different. We've really loved talking to designers and bloggers, and we also thought it would be cool to tap someone who's an expert in a specific field, like fabric and upholstery.
Yeah, so we're going to give Travis Hamilton a call. He and his wife, Carly, own a few fabric and upholstery shops here in Central Virginia called UFAB, and they've sort of been our go-to source. If you've read our blog, you've probably heard their name come up a few times. We worked with them on our show house and our holiday makeover for the Children's Hospital of Richmond, so we thought we'd give them a ring.
Hello.
Hey, Travis.
Hey, guys.
We're so excited to talk to you.
I'm excited to be here.
We want to pick your brain about fabric and upholstery.
I don't hear that every day, but I'm more than happy to oblige.
So shed light on what a common mistake you might see a lot when people buy fabrics, or what people at home can do when they're going to the fabric store trying to pick the right fabric, either in type or color, for their project.
There's a few things. I mean, one of the most common mistakes we see is people pick a paint color and get a professional painter and paint their house and then come in to try to find fabric. It's much easier to find the fabrics for your room first and then paint after. So that's one kind of easy mistake that we see all the time. The other big mistake that people make is they have this idea in their head of exactly what the fabric's going to look like. They can't find that exact fabric. They kind of have trouble moving forward. The biggest thing we say is come in with an open mind, come in with an idea or kind of a general direction you want to head. And most people that come in with like that are very successful.
And what's one way that you think someone could stretch their budget or save when it comes to fabric and upholstery?
Oh, there's lots of ways to stretch your budget there. I mean, remnants, end of bolts are great to save money in the actual fabric. You can get phenomenal fabrics for a really good price. With reupholstery, I mean, there's lots of stuff you can kind of do yourself, like easier projects. Slip covers are a really good idea for people that are, you know, trying to save a little bit of money. It's a lot easier to make a slip cover. It's something you may be able to do yourself, or you can get a professional to do it, and you can make a really good slip cover for usually about half of what reupholstery would be. Plus, of course, you can wash it.
Well, you brought up an interesting point that, you know, there are some projects that you might be able to take on yourself, and there are probably others that you are best relying on a professional. What do you think are the questions that someone should ask themselves to evaluate, you know, when they should turn to a pro or when they might give it a shot themselves?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that people can do themselves. The most obvious example, and the one, you know, that I'm sure lots of your listeners and you guys have probably done, would be dining room chairs. There's all kinds of YouTube videos on how to do it, to do the different corners and all the different process. Other really great DIY things are things like headboards. They're usually, you know, most people are capable of. I think those kind of projects, almost anyone's capable of. It's just a matter of patience. And then even when it comes to other things like pillows, even drapes and other things, you can really, those are not that complicated to do if you're not scared of trying the sewing machine. Your first one might not be perfect, but you're probably going to be the only person that realizes that the line's not straight. There's a lot of things people can do themselves if they're willing to just spend a little time, have a little patience, and kind of teach themselves.
I remember that we were quite confident after, as you said, doing some dining chairs, that Sherry found a rocking chair on Craigslist. Ah! I think that thing sat like looking at her intimidatingly in the corner for like months.
And then when I did it, oh my gosh, I gave myself like a D+. Like, I didn't do a great job with these nail heads I added at the end, and sort of a panic of like, embellish it with all the things.
Sherry found her limit in that rocking chair.
Right. Like, I can do dining chairs, like you said. I can do headboards. I can even do curtains and pillows.
Yep.
But I will never do a rocking chair again, Travis. Mark my words.
Exactly right. I mean, they're just so much more complicated in an older piece versus like a dining room chair that's on a board.
It was funny. I was like really proud of it for a second. I was like, that's great. This was really hard and really intimidating. So I'm really proud of myself. And then as the weeks and years tick by, I was like, yard sale. So are there any fabric trends that you see coming up, or any that you think are going away?
It's always hard to figure out what's coming and going, and it does change so much, I think, regionally. But, you know, we're seeing traditional come back to a certain degree, but with more of a current twist on it. So today's colors, maybe a little bit more updated design, but still maybe a little bit more traditional than we've seen the last 3 or 4 years. Seeing some greens and pastels, obviously those have been coming back for a while now, but starting to get even more traction. And things going away, I'm not sure if there's less geometrics or there's just so many that we're not selling the same one over and over again. And the other thing we're seeing less of is probably like white backgrounds, like really stark white backgrounds. We're kind of seeing less of that. People are going more towards ivories and more natural. And we're kind of seeing the end of like the cold grays, like taupey grays, mousy grays, brown grays, like the warm grays, naturals are really, really popular. But the kind of cement gray was super popular like 2 years ago. And now it's pretty quiet. You know, that's what we're seeing in our world anyway.
And what would you say are like prints that are really popular? Are they like lattice because we're saying like preppy? Are they like a pinstripe because it's more of a masculine thing going on?
The masculine's never taken off here for us, but, you know, actually Asian prints, like the twalls, like Asian twalls are really popular right now. It's kind of a Richmond thing, obviously, but I think it's popular elsewhere too. We're seeing it a lot. yeah, lattices and embroideries and geometrics are still very popular. And then we're seeing on solids, we're seeing a lot of chenilles come back and big like boucles and big heavy knits and lots of texture. Kind of instead of the linens, it's all about texture right now. Like everybody wants tons and tons of texture. The bigger the yarn and the kind of fluffier, more textural, the better.
I love a man who says boucle. Is your wife just like standing near you being like, hit it, honey, nail it with that boucle talk?
She is sitting here, you know, critiquing, I'm sure, writing notes about what I'm saying wrong.
He's doing great.
As a wife should do.
That's right.
Well, I was going to ask, chevron hot or not? Because it sounds like you are on the front lines.
Chevron is, in our world, is pretty much done. But again, we're kind of a little early, so you might still see it in the big box stores, but in our world, it's pretty much over.
Well, Travis, let's get practical for a second, because we get a lot of people who ask us about, you know, if they're upholstering something like a chair or a sofa in their house and they've got kids or pets or they're particularly accident prone themselves. So what would you recommend as a fabric that's especially durable for a household like that?
You know, first off, I'll always say it's fabric. Nothing is kid and pet proof completely. We try to steer people away from whites and really light neutral colors. But, you know, things that we found that are really good are, we have some microfibers, like 100% polyester, like velvets and textured microfibers that wash really well and that you can get stains out of really well. Krypton is kind of a very popular thing in the marketplace right now, where it's treated. Customers have seemed to like that and have had good luck. I always recommend people if they're getting something with maybe multiple colors of yarn, that helps, you know, kind of hide wear as well, really well over the longer term.
And what if something spills? Like, say I'm at home and my wine spilled on the sofa, and unlike the demo, it did not come out. So what should I do? I mean, does it depend what has spilled, or do you have any one size fits all, like always get seltzer or only use water?
You know, no, we don't. And I mean, having a workroom, you know, I cannot tell you the amount of times, like, you know, somebody pricks their finger and there's blood on something or dirt. I mean, it happens. We have a lady that we call like our fabric wizard. The main thing she uses a Tide pen, but she blots it down with water. That gets a lot of things out. OxyClean is pretty remarkable. We also use commercial degreasers. Like, you can get in a spray can. I don't even know where you buy them. We kind of just try a lot of different things. I mean, the biggest thing we do is get on it quick and keep it wet and blot. And if all else fails, it's amazing what the professional cleaners can get out of your furniture. They come out with an extractor and they can get almost anything out.
And if all else really fails, just go to UFAB, buy new fabric.
There you go.
So that was a little bit about what you think would work well on a sofa or upholstered stuff. But I'm wondering about common curtain mistakes that you see people making, whether it's color or scale or length.
There is so many curtain mistakes I see that it is like, it's hard to even know where to begin with that.
It's a curtain epidemic.
It is the most common things. I mean, the high water drape or keeping it at the sill. Those are kind of the obvious ones. Some of the other ones that maybe aren't as obvious, but I think make a big difference. So a lot of people still want to just put the rod kind of on the window frame or just above. And I'm sure you guys know, and probably a lot of your listeners know, but if you can bring that window up and start that rod kind of halfway between the window, the top of the window and the ceiling, it adds a lot of height to your room and then makes it a lot more dramatic. And then also, in the same note, if you can take the rod outside of the window frame and have the draperies kind of stacked back on the sides, you can make your window look a lot larger and add, again, a lot more drama to the room.
One of my favorite tricks. I call it high and wide.
High and wide. It's super simple, but if you go into most people's homes, they don't do it. And the only other thing would be maybe not lining drapes. It's a little more money to line the drapes, but I think most times you'll be happy by spending a little extra on the lining.
And teach me. So what does lining the drapes do? Does it make them look fuller? Does it block light?
So exactly, you just nailed both of them. It makes it quite a bit fuller, and then it blocks light. It also gives you a nice appearance on the outside, being that it's just a white versus the backside of a fabric.
So Travis, if you're not a fan of the high water curtain, what is your ideal length? Is it just barely touching the top of the floor? Is it pooling on the floor?
I have a strong opinion on this, actually. My perfect is an eighth of an inch off the floor. So I want to just about touch the floor.
I like that you have strong opinions, because everyone knows this stuff is subjective, but it's nice to give people a strong opinion so they can either decide to implement it or say, that's crazy, I love high waters.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Travis, so much. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
And we'll be sure to put a link to UFAB's website at younghouselove.com/podcast. Be sure to check out their blogs. They've got lots of cool home tours and other fabric inspiration. And if you live here in Richmond or in Charlottesville, Virginia, you can check them out in person. Well, I think it's about time we wrap things up with We're Digging. Sherry, what are you digging?
So this week, I'm digging Dr. Bronner's Organic Virgin Coconut Oil. I had to read the label to make sure I got it right. If you want to take a mental picture of me, it's me holding like a big slippery bottle of coconut oil.
With your busted finger behind it?
Yes, with my poor smashed finger behind it. Maybe I should upload a picture on younghouselove.com/podcast. It's a sorry site. I'll also put a link to it there. The reason I love this stuff is because I got it because I wanted it for cooking. And then I started reading the reviews and people were like, this is an awesome deep conditioner. And I'm a girl who doesn't like to use a lot of products and I love something natural. So I was like, I'm going to try this as a deep conditioner. So I don't use it every time. I still have a normal conditioner, but I condition my hair with it maybe every 5 washes or so. I just leave it on, shave, do whatever, and then rinse it out. And it makes my hair crazy soft. And that's basically what a lot of the reviews said. And I also read other people say they use it on their face. So before bed, I've been putting it on my face. And I know this sounds counterproductive because it's oil and oil is supposed to make you break out. But I have tried every delicate eye cream or face moisturizer. And this is the only thing that doesn't make me break out. I'm just like a big fan.
And it's kind of like sleeping next to a pina colada.
Oh yeah, I smell kind of like sunscreen and an adult beverage, which I think is kind of nice. So what are you digging, John?
Well, this week I'm digging another podcast. It's an NPR podcast called Ask Me Another. And it's one of my favorite ones. It comes out every week. And it's kind of like a podcast game show.
It's like bar trivia.
Yeah, they call it, I think, a mix of word games, puzzles, and trivia. And it's kind of like half pop culture, half nerdy stuff. So yes. It's like right up my alley, obviously. Yes.
When it's on, we can't talk about anything else because John wants to play the game versus me and he wants to win. He is like competitive and it's on. And it's really fun. It like makes when you're sitting in traffic or doing like a road trip, it makes it go faster.
Yeah. And I would say it's kind of like maybe partially the inspiration for our What's Not segment. So like if you like playing along with that, you'll probably like Ask Me Another because it's a longer version of that. And it's not just DIY stuff. It's again, pop culture. They've got celebrities. There's like a comedian who's a host, Ophira Eisenberg. And then there's also a musician, sort of her sidekick, Jonathan Colton.
He's my favorite because he like changes the lyrics of songs. And then what he sings would be the clue. And then the guests have to ring in with an answer.
Yeah, like they just did this game in a recent episode I listened to where he sung Queen songs, you know, the band Queen.
Uh-huh.
But he changed all the lyrics to be clues about actual queens, like actual royalty.
And aren't there always random ones like Queen Latifah?
Yeah, I think she was in there. I think even Khaleesi, yes. Mother of Dragons from Game of Thrones was one of the answers. But the games are really clever and they're silly and they're not too hard. Like this other one that I heard recently was based on Law & Order SVU. And it was not quizzing you about the show, but it just used the format of that show. So like all of the clues were spoken like the intro to that show and all the answers were other 3-letter initials.
Oh, I don't think I heard that one.
Yeah, so do you want to try one?
Okay.
Okay, so this was one. Again, they did this in like serious Law & Order voice.
Okay.
It's like, in the bureaucratic system, the dedicated government workers who control slow-moving lines are elite members of a driver's licensing office.
DMV.
Yeah, so yeah, the answer was Law & Order DMV.
Oh, you had to answer it. Yeah. I like when they make you answer it a certain way.
And then they had someone also going, chung chung.
Oh, that's funny. I want to listen to that one.
So anyways, again, it's NPR's Ask Me Another podcast, and I think it's great. And I really want to be on it.
I would panic, and just all my answers would be like, Weird Al Yankovic?
He was on it once. He was one of their guests.
Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast.
This is our 10th episode, so why not celebrate this milestone by making sure you're subscribed to us in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcast. Oh, and maybe help us commemorate 10 episodes with a rating or review in iTunes. They really help new folks find our podcast, so we'd really appreciate it.
And please tell me I'm not the only one who had to go to the emergency room for such a dumb reason. Hit us up with your story on Twitter or Instagram by tagging @younghouselove.
And be sure to check out younghouselove.com/podcast for notes, links, and photos from this episode, including a link to that coconut oil that apparently Sherry puts on just about everything.
Also, I eat it.